Ready? Welcome, everybody, to the Oceano Community Services District bi-monthly meeting, February 24th. Karen, can I... Let's do a roll call vote. I always forget that. So, yeah, can we start off with a roll call, please?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you.
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if nobody minds, I'd like to take a moment of silence for two people we lost this week. Sister Marty Aguilar from Santa Rosa, who was a international humanitarian and helped many, many people across many, many continents, and Jacques Chambers, who dedicated his life to people with disabilities in California. So if we could just take a moment, I'd appreciate that.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. All right. Do we have any thing that needs to be added or changed or...
Madam President,
yes.
My recommendation would be to take our single hearing item, which is 9C, and it's, I'm sorry, 9A, relating to an appeal on a water bill,
okay,
and to consider that item after the committee reports and consent agenda, but before the business items.
That's fine. I have no objection.
Yeah. I have no objection. It's fine.
Great.
Make a motion. We approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. This public comment is for items that are not on the agenda. If anybody would like to make public comment, this is the time that we do that. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I really wanted to just bring up a couple of things that your board covered, but I think need to be fully readdressed. And that first item is the Phillips 66 matter. Your board did direct your general manager to put together a special meeting so that you could take a position on the project. Whatever happened with having a joint meeting fell apart, but you still can have that item on one of your regular agendas, and I'd like to see you take a position. The project will be going through the pipeline for some time, so there is still time to get on board, so to speak. And the other question I had was about a month ago, the plant superintendent from the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District came over here and invited you all to take a tour of his plant, or your plant. It's the community's plant. And I wondered if anyone took him up on that offer. And if you haven't or don't have time, or I would encourage you to go to their website. He's actually put together a very short video. I don't know. I think it's under 5 minutes about how the plant process works. And I found it very informative, but it might be a good precursor to a tour, and I encourage you to do both. The last thing I wanted to cover is also a month ago, you approved $20,000 for new carpet and new furniture for the district offices. And what I would like you to try to include in that purchase is new toilets for your bathrooms. The bathrooms here are 1984, which predates the regulation of 1.6 gallon per flush toilets. Toilets are on the market now for 8/10 of a gallon flush. You could be the most efficient if you simply change out those fixtures. Additionally, you want to be ADA compliant, and those toilets are a little bit low, if you know what I mean, and not low flow, just low to the ground. So if you could try to fit that in the budget, I think it would be prudent. Conservation starts at home, and you're setting an example for your ratepayers if you change out those fixtures.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to do public comment tonight? Hearing none, I'll close public comment and move into special presentations and reports. Do we have the sheriff here? Nope. Tony, how about we hear what your great department's doing always?
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. For the past couple of weeks, we've had 13 work orders, 7 USAs, 9 customer service calls. We attended a confined space class to get certified, or just basically get recertified, a refresher course. We had an SSO that occurred on Napomo Street, which was a lateral at a resident that we had to clear the blockage. Most likely it was due to the lateral being having an offset, built up debris, and finally backed up. We had, as I said last meeting, we had an APCD inspection. Went very well. We are continuing to clean our sewer mains for our SSMP, cleaned out the lift station. As for well 5, we have added 5 tons of 3AP gravel to it, which filled it up 150 feet. That's our next step to abandon the well. Now the last 50 feet will be done with a 6-sack slurry, and the Fisher Pumps will be on board because they're the licensed drilling contractor. And that's going to be a $1,200 expense compared to what the initial talk was between $10,000 and $15,000 that was over the phone because we're doing all the work. We're going to coordinate with the concrete and get it all there, be able to abandon it all on our behalf. So that's a really good savings. Overlooking our SOPs, making sure they're up to date, keeping on track with those. Did some lighting down at Highway 1. Any questions?
Matt, do you have any questions?
Just a quick, the SSO at the lateral, you know how large the spill was?
Yes, it was 5 gallons.
Okay.
And it spilled on the clean out, which is on the property itself. The section that was blocked was actually from the clean out at the property line to the main. That's where the blockage occurred. It didn't spill from that clean out. It actually spilled on the property itself, which was another 30 feet back. It was on a paved area.
Okay. So would this be a situation that would be addressed if, or that should be addressed in the future if the board takes up what to do with the laterals, whether they go back to the property owner or what have you?
Well, absolutely. Our last 3 SSOs have been laterals. And they're all reportable incidents. I do report them.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tony.
Yes.
Just a wild guesstimate. What does it cost us when you have to go out for a lateral repair? I mean, just I'm just trying to get a range. Are we looking at 5,000 up to 15,000?
Are we talking about replacing the lateral?
Let's just say we had to replace it.
I'd like to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Madam President, so into the goals, we're planning on coming back on an agenda item in March.
Okay.
To address private property sewer laterals and for initial discussion and to get some board direction on follow-up.
All right. Okay. Karen, do you want to wait to give a report till...
Well, I can give
you just,
the.
You want to just do the quick numbers?
Yeah, I can do the quick numbers.
Great.
Year to date, as of last Friday, February 15th, we had responded to. Oh, let me see here. 200 they've got it by percentage. Calls out had been 49.8% to Roy Grandy. It was 233 calls, including 4 fires, 149 EMSs. Grover Station had responded 36.3% of the time, including 3 fires and 129 EMSs. And Oceano had responded 13.9% of the time, 3 fires and 34 EMSs. But if you look at it, because we no longer stop at city districts, city lines, and that's evened it up. Oceana responded to 23% of the calls, Grover Beach 41%, and Roy Grandy 35%. We also responded to 49 calls, that's from January 1st to February 15th, 49 calls of automatic mutual aid, or automatic and mutual aid for CAL FIRE. There was no fires in that, but there was 24 EMSs, and then 15 just service calls. But that continues to be the Five Cities Fire Authority is now in negotiations on a new mutual aid agreement with CAL FIRE, and it will reduce the calls we make east from Arroyo Grande. We will stop not at the property, at the city limits, but we will go just a little ways past there. We will not be going way out to Wasno, way out to Lopez Lake any longer. And those are calls that are supposed to go to the San Luis Airport Station. So that's the next closest fire. But that will reduce. We made 14 calls to that area east of Arroyo Grande from January 1st to February 15th. So,
wow.
We're clipping along. It's I don't think I wrote it, but it was 8 or 10% increase over last year at this time.
Overall, 10% increase in demand.
In demand, yeah.
Okay. Do we know why that is?
More population, older population. It's mainly EMS calls. It's, I mean, you figure. Let's see. Let's look at just from February 1st to February 15th. Arroyo Grande Station Number 1 had 50 EMS calls, and Grover had 38, and Oceano had 12. 66% of the calls were EMS for the year so far. Same thing. 66% were EMS. But we are serving our communities.
Thank you, Karen. Mr. Ogun, do you have reports on Zone 3?
I have a few items to report on. A couple related to yesterday's efforts at two different governing board meetings. First, in the morning, the Board of Supervisors had a study session on South County water. Where myself, Mr. Minery, as well as Director Blackburn and President Lucy were in attendance. And I felt that the meeting overall went really well. It was led off with a presentation by Jim Gehring that set the tone for the water resource challenges that we have here in the Five Cities area. Followed up with Ben Fine, the Public Works Director for Pismo Beach, who spoke on their efforts associated with recycled water and improving the reliability of groundwater supplies, with some discussion also about a potential regional effort with South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And then Greg Ray, the Public Works Director for the City of Grover Beach, followed up with a discussion of the wide range of alternatives that the Technical Advisory Committee has been addressing in terms of what to do if this drought is extended. Very timely, considering that El Nino has not produced above average rainfall this year. We have been getting rain better than in some of the previous years, but still far from what is needed. The Board of Supervisors was very receptive. Both District 3 and District 4 supervisors who represent the Five Cities area were very positive in terms of comments. It was concluded then with some bullet points by Public Works Director Wade Horton on what his next efforts are going to be, including bringing different agencies together. Some of the big points really were with respect to the Diablo diesel water and how might that be used, and that's going to be a subsequent discussion item with the Board of Supervisors in March, so we need to keep tuned to that. But the point being is that the Diablo desal water could help firm up the reliability of our surface water supplies. We know that Lopez we've been taking cutbacks on this year, and we expect we're going to get additional cutbacks in Lopez as the drought continues. But Diablo water coupled with changes in the Lopez contracts to provide storage rights are one of the options to help with the reliability of our surface water supplies. And, of course, reclaimed water and reinjection of the groundwater basin could help with reliability of groundwater supplies. So overall, the discussion was very positive. Our sister agencies, neighboring agencies, staff did a really nice job in the presentation and covered some really good points. And then Tuesday night, the city of Arroyo Grande followed up with an item to act as the lead agency for the Stormwater Resource Plan grant application, which was previously on your board's agenda, which you acted in support. So it was good to see the city of Arroyo Grande step up on that measure. And it's based on getting funding support, as your board has previously acted on, through Zone 3 and through the county. We have staff support on that and would anticipate if Zone 3 Advisory Committee supports it at their meeting in March, then it will be incorporated into the county's budget and the grant application will show the matching. So, again, some good collaborative efforts moving ahead between the agencies here in the Five Cities area. On the Prop 1 grant, which I previously reported, that our region got a 75% award with Templeton and with San Simeon, we've been updating our scope, schedules, and budgets in order to get the finals in. The numbers as they're working out is that our share of the grant will be about $198,000 in real funding, but we also got waived the application costs, and your board had approved an agreement up to $25,000 on application costs. And I didn't get a final accounting on what those application costs ended up being, but in any case, they're waived, so we won't have to pay those. And which means that our true benefit is in excess of $198,000 and more likely in the area of $210,000 to $220,000. So those revised scope schedules and budgets are due to the state on March 11th, and today I finished submitting all of my edits to the county so that they can meet the March 11th deadline. The recruitment on the business and accounting manager position is proceeding, and I'm going to anticipate having a first set of interviews next week. Depending on the availability of the applicants, some of that might be the following week. But again, we've been getting some applications in and anticipate starting the interview process next week. And then my last comment is that, I was in absence of your last board meeting because I went to the NOAA conference in South Carolina, which ended up being a very good conference. It was a little bit different because normally I speak in front of audience that are more like public works people or attorneys who are evaluating public works issues or utility issues versus this conference was more of the water resource specialists and some academics who are working on grants associated with coastal management. So it was a different group of people. But they had some really good sessions on surveying communities and how to approach surveys to get good survey results from communities. They had some really good sessions on one approach of doing a charrette with different color hats, which I'll go into a little bit at some subsequent meeting. But different types of techniques of working with communities to get a response on what community priorities are. And so I found those types of conferences, which were really sessions that were addressing different types of efforts with community where it didn't matter, you know, if you're finance or if you're engineering or if you're a social scientist or an environmental specialist. And they had some good conferences, and that's where I sort of focused my time in any case. And I appreciate your old board supporting me attending that conference and be glad to answer any questions on my committee report.
Thank you, Mr. Ogren. Thank you, Mr. Ogren. Is there anybody else that wants to give any reports under presentations and reports? Hearing none, we'll move right into Board of Directors. Let's start at the other end of the table. Mr. Guerrero.
I don't have anything to report this week. Thank you. I would point out, though, that tomorrow is the, I think, continued hearing on Phillip 66 at the Board of Supervisors chambers.
That's right.
And they are taking additional public comment. So
okay.
Anybody that can make it should.
All right. Karen?
The one report I really have is on the fire, and I'll do it later.
Okay.
And I think...
Oceana Advisory?
You're going to do Oceana Advisory?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
She gets to do Oceana Advisory tonight. Thank
okay.
you.
And SLOCOG?
Well,
did you attend the SLOCOG meeting?
Oh, the sediment meeting?
Yes.
Didn't I report on that last meeting?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was a...
Do you want to hold off till the next meeting? That's fine.
No, I mean, it's ongoing. They're doing a county, basically a county plan. They call it a sediment plan, but it's basically looking at the issues of either retreating in the face of rising seawater or putting up barriers, or how they're going to look at the entire situations of the rising sea waters. And they had a comprehensive list of a lot of different areas or different locations where there could be challenges and where it needed to be studied, and there might need to be grants and stuff. And Oceano, the mouth of the Rio Grande Creek, the sandbar, Meadow Creek, the lagoon, none of that was in their planning. But that has since been rectified. It wasn't... Before I could respond, Deb Peterson stood up to suggest, and there was another person suggest that Oceano had been excluded, and one person said, oh, well, we didn't know about it, which was rather shocking when you think of all the studies and all the stuff that's gone into the Rio Grande Creek and the whole area, that whole area. But it's now to be included. And the next meeting, I'll attend a meeting on March 18th on that.
And there's no proposed tax increases or anything of that nature at this point?
No, it's more looking at where things need to be done.
Okay.
But the planning, just in very general on what needs to be done in different places, like dredging of Port San Luis and dredging of Morro Bay. And,
As a coincidental side note, the conference that I did attend and the technical sessions were dominated by these types of plans on what's occurring on our coasts and, you know, are they facing sedimentation? Or were they some of the East Coast communities are facing increases in nuisance flooding because of sea level rise. It was interesting to see the coincidence and actually getting some exposure to the technical work that's being done in other portions of the nation. And, of course, I'll be following up with Vice President White as she goes through the efforts on this particular plan.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, Jennifer.
Monday was Oceano Advisory Council, and we had a presentation from James Worthley from SLOCOG, like Slow Council of Governments, and he was introducing something that they're going to be proposing, which is a half cent, or is that our county becomes a self-help county in terms of transportation funding, and what they're proposing is a half cent or more sales tax for guaranteed local transportation. And the transportation would include mostly pedestrian, bicycle, road maintenance and improvement, but also freeway and interchanges and streetscapes. The list kind of goes down, but the lower on the list, the less likely it would be included in the taxes. The projects, I guess, that would be included. But it would include a citizen oversight committee, and they're saying that it might bring in about $25 million a year with a 1% maximum on staff and admin costs. But it does require two-thirds voter approval, and they are going around to different areas right now giving the information. So I'm not sure if... But is he talking about coming to OCSD? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was at some point. Okay.
Yeah.
But they're hoping to leverage, use the money to leverage federal and state money as well for projects, because just they're looking at the funding keeps going down. The gas tax revenue is going down due to electric and hybrid cars, and so because they're using less gas, and so they need to find funding because those electric and hybrid cars are still using the roads. So we do need to still fund the maintenance of that. We also got an update on some of the Front Street revitalization, but especially the 17th Street closure, which they are hoping to have happen this summer. They're closing one. They're closing the 17th Street one. There's Beach and 17th, I think, are
right there.
Right
by the
there.
Triangle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're going to close the 17th Street side with planters, and so we were looking at some plant options from really low maintenance, low water usage to even some well, higher maintenance and water, but including plants and herbs. All of them are plants. Fruit, some fruit trees, or you know, some edible type foods, but that would require more maintenance. But in terms of maintenance, he's looking into still who would be taking care of that, looking into possibly some community groups. And then let's see. I think the other main thing that we wanted to make sure that we mentioned was about the school board redistricting. That Lucy Amar School District was, and maybe was that something, Karen, that you were going to mention, or do you want me to mention
you
that?
You can
well?
Go ahead if you want.
Okay. They have different maps that they are looking at for different ways to do the redistricting, but Nimpomo's size has been growing, and so they're requesting another seat. And I believe they only have one, and Oceano currently has one, and Aurora Grande has three, and is it Grover?
Grover and Pismo share two.
Two, okay. Right. And so there are different ways of reallocating those seats, but they will be meeting next Tuesday.
Tuesday, March 1st?
Yes, at 6:30, I believe. I'm going to make sure that that's right, though.
It might be 7 o'clock. I'd have to double check.
Okay, it is before their regular meeting. They're
actually, the work group starts at 5.
Okay.
Work group starts at 5 to look at the maps and have some input in on
yes.
it.
Yeah, it so was 5:30. I'm sorry.
I'll
yeah.
elaborate on it a little bit more sure. after you're done, but continue on.
No, I believe that was also one of the, I think, we would. Our current Oceano representative, I think, would, or it would be beneficial for Oceano to continue to have a voice and a seat.
Representative, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
On that board. So
okay.
That's all I have for that meeting now for right now.
Lori? I didn't attend anything this last 2 weeks.
Okay. I had a great week, actually. I attended the Board of Supervisors yesterday. I'll just go backwards from there. Friday night, I was able to attend the CSDA annual meeting in Avila Beach, where Oceano did apply for one of the positions. Mr. Eanes was voted in as the primary representative for the LAFCO board, and then an alternate and treasurer and so on. So our supervisor, Lynn Compton, gave a great presentation on the different things the county's doing, and then a couple gentlemen from Public Works came in. And mainly there was good networking. I worked a lot with a couple women from Avila, and it was really nice, and to meet other people from other very, very small districts, like some districts where it's just a cemetery and all the members aren't, they're present, but not really present. So they told me those things. I had no idea. And then I attended the Lucia Mars school board as well, looking at the three maps. And fortunately, we have some great people in the area who have been here since the beginning of this school district of 50 years ago, and 50 years ago it was agreed upon that Oceana would always have this, a seat on the Lucia Moore board, and so unification was implemented and it's moved forward since then, but populations have grown, and Napomo does need another rep, and so the breakdown is one of the proposals is proposal one that Oceana continue to have a representative on the board. We do have the majority of the kids in the little school up here is from Oceana, and of course Oceana North Oceana is children from the Oceano area, mm-hmm. probably a few from the Grover Beach area as well. The second proposal is that the Oceano seat be eliminated and that Napomo be given another seat on the board. And then the third proposal would be that Oceano be eliminated and that we would kind of just hope that one of the three reps from Arroyo Grande or the two reps from Grover Beach and Pismo Beach would just hopefully include Oceano. We find this very disturbing. So I strongly, strongly encourage people to go to the website. The maps were in the newspaper. I think it was either today or yesterday.
I think it was Monday. It might have been Sunday. I think it was
Monday. But anyway, yeah. The maps are readily available. And they're asking for community participation. And so I think it's of utmost importance that people try to attend and look at these maps. And if you have children or you pay towards school bonds or anything like that, I think it's important that people voice their opinion. But I think it's extremely important that Oceano can maintain a seat on the board and that we actually attend as community members and participate and help the entire board, not just the one seat. So visibility is very, very important.
Can I add to that?
Go ahead.
Karen wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to say my home is in the Oceana Community Services District, but if I had a child, he would go to Arroyo Grande Schools. Halcyon already is cut out, and I don't know why it couldn't be cut back into Oceano where it belongs. I mean, the county tells me my property is in Oceano, and it just seems like there's so much gerrymandering.
Well, those lines were changed about 4 years ago.
No, way before that.
Okay, way before that,
yeah.
Those lines were changed. It wasn't 50 years ago, but they have mm-hmm. been modified since its inception.
Yeah.
And so that's a question I would have for our representative to Oceano.
Right. And
my
feeling is always that Oceano is underrepresented at every level of county government. And to take away the only voice that we have on the school board is an erosion of democracy. And so I think that the people of Oceano should come out in force. There were seven or eight speakers at the school board district last week, four from Oceano, four from the other jurisdictions. Every single person said, keep Oceano's voice. Keep Oceano's voice. And there was a vote, unfortunately it went 3-3, to only work with the map, not to adopt, but to work with the map that included Oceano keeping its voice. The two representatives from Arroyo Grande and the one from Grover Beach voted no on that. And so it is a great concern. I think that Oceano needs to continue to maintain its seat on the board. We heard some history about Oceano obtaining a seat on the board about 50 years ago. That it was always the intention. And so in order to protect Oceana's voice, please, everyone, come out. Whether you like or dislike our representative, whether you like or dislike the way votes have gone down without having a person in that seat from this community, which is, in my opinion, unique amongst the other South County communities, we will continue to have our voice squashed. And so please come out and protect that voice.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say on that topic?
Okay. Would it be appropriate for this district to send a letter to Lucia Moore saying, please do not squash our voice?
Well, we certainly don't have an item on the agenda today to act upon.
Okay. Well, depending upon what happens on March 1st, I will ask that this come back. If it's still out there, if the issue hasn't been resolved on March 1st, I'll ask that it come back and that this board take a position on it.
And so I think it would be appropriate to follow up on that during future agenda items?
Yeah.
That's fine.
So if you could put that under the future agenda items in the minutes, we do really want to keep that issue on the forefront. It is really extremely important to many. Okay. We're going to have public comment on that section now. Is there anybody? Oh, I'm sorry. South Sanitation District, I also attended. Excuse me. The South Sanitation District, I think, is getting stronger. The board has moved around. Mayor Scholes is now the chair, and Mayor Hill is now the vice chair.
No. I'm the vice chair.
Oh, Luciana. I'm sorry.
Luciana has the vice chair.
Matt Guerrero is the vice chair. But anyway, I think that the plant is running well as the plant manager and the interim general manager reported. It appears to be doing well. So the reclamation project, I think, is moving forward. I know that Mayor Hill has...
Not reclamation. The project's moving forward is the
redundancy. Excuse me.
Yes. We want reclamation moving forward.
Too many projects going on in my brain.
It's okay.
The redundancy project is going forward, and Mayor Hill has so eloquently gone through the contract and really highlighted areas that needed fleshing out a little bit more, and I greatly appreciate that. He has expertise in that area, so I think he helped the board a lot and contributed a lot in that aspect. Overall, I think that it's moving right along. I think the board is also getting close to talking about legal and how to move forward. Some of the expenses and costs and how do we start moving the district forward. District meaning the sanitation district. So overall, I thought it was a great meeting. And on that note, I'll take public comment. Ms. Tucker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tucker, and I will go from the bottom up, starting with the sanitation district. They also implemented a rate increase Wednesday night. Your rates over the next 5 years will double. Mm-hmm. And the redundancy project contract was continued for another month. That's a $1.8 million contract. The reason it was not adopted is it appears that both Mayor Scholes and Mayor Hill were concerned with the permitting. A little cart before the horse, in that you don't have a permit to build the redundancy project, and until you have even an application in, it didn't seem prudent to award that much money for a contract. $1.8 million is a lot. I love to see your passion on the Lucia Moore item, but I have to tie it back to P66. If that oil train blows up right here, there is no Oceano to represent. So as much as you want to say something to Lucia Moore, you need to be saying something to the County of San Luis Obispo about that project. So I'm going to go back to Pavo's report. The one... $198,000 in grants. That's all well and good, but remember, those were not in your goals. So these are projects that are additional outside of what you had set for your goals between last year in 2017. I'm happy for you that you've got the money, but it is a lot of work and a bit of a distraction from some of the things that you will be talking about in your goals. Lastly, I also remember a month or so ago, Mr. Carter and Mr. Shackerer coming here pleading with your board to do something about the transient population near out on the island. And Ms. Lucy, you directed Mr. Ogren to get the sheriff in here for a report. Mr. Ian Parkinson's great presentation over at the depot a month and a half, 2 months ago, whatever that wasn't televised. And I think it is prudent to have that conversation here where the public can view it and understand what's going on and what can and can't be done. And you can also underscore that the sanitation district has done their part and cleaned up their property. And they did it legally, and I think you should be very proud of them. They did it in-house and didn't cost very much.
Can I briefly comment to that? When Deputy Leponovic and Jocelyn from Supervisor Josh and Brennan, yes, when she came in from the supervisor for District Supervisor's office, Lynn Compton's office, they did talk about that and gave an update on the homeless and that they had cleaned out the camp down there. And so I haven't followed up, and I should. I think you didn't remind me, but hearing you reminded me that I should follow up with Mr. Carter and make sure that...
Can I jump in? They have followed up with me, and I've been down to the island every day for the past week. I've had several people actually calling me on that. The sanitation district did do a very good job in cleaning up their area and posting no trespassing signs. Fortunately, all those signs have been torn down, and it's been reoccupied. So for people on that particular property, I've directed them to contact the sanitation district because there's not much we could do about it. And, of course, I've directed them to call law enforcement. I did talk to law enforcement, and they said that they would keep us apprised of anything. And there's really, unless there's no trespassing signs or it's district property, there's really not much we can do about it. So I strongly encourage people who are concerned about this, as we all should be, is to call law enforcement when you have these situations occurring in your area. Right now it happens to be the island area that's being seized. So,
and Madam President, if I might just provide a couple of clarifications on public comment. One, which is that, in fact, we did follow up with the Sheriff's Department, and that was my understanding was at your last meeting, there was quite an extensive discussion with representatives of the Sheriff's Department, as well as Jocelyn Brennan from Lynn Compton's office, and that task has been accomplished, and that was at that last meeting. With respect to the grant award of the $198,000, the vast majority of that money is for addressing our water CIP needs and for addressing leaky pipes, and that is directly related to some of the items that we've identified as being part of my goals since I was hired from day one. So those are very consistent with the need for us to look at some of our antiquated infrastructure, our leaky pipes, and to do the upfront engineering on that so that we can then turn around and pursue those CIP efforts. And I'll speak to that a little bit more in the goals. But I just wanted to make sure to provide those clarifying comments.
Thank you, Mr. Ogren. I was going to tie them in under the goals, but thank you for pointing that out. Yes, Karen.
One other thing that I didn't announce. I was at Zone 11A, and they have now spent more than $2,000 on creek cleanup of debris from the homeless. And the question with that group is that money is really allocated for a different kind of cleanup of the creek. But they also have become involved in the total issue of the transients in the creek. And that board, there was a lengthy discussion at that meeting on it. And there was a study of which areas of the creek belong to which entities? Because there's public land that belongs to the county, there's private land, there's creek land. I mean, there's just a variety of different... So somehow it's kind of hard at some point to know just who's responsible for which corner of the transient challenge.
So you're saying that Zone 11A didn't see it in, as part of the cleanup?
Well, yes and no. It was questioned. It was discussed. They have specific cleanup in regard to cleaning the creek for flood damage. I think that's what the tax money was being spent for, was allocated for.
So they defined debris?
Huh?
They defined debris?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was discussed. There was no resolution, but the money has been spent, and it's continuing to be watched. But if Zone 11A takes that over and spends way bunches of money, there won't be the money that the taxpayers allocated for the channel work. I mean...
And if I might follow up as well, because we do have the Garbage Franchising Authority, we have assisted in some of the cleanup efforts as well. When the county was implementing some of their Zone 1 and 1A efforts outside of the boundaries of the levees, there was a lot of debris that was left, and so we worked with the garbage company in order to make sure that was taken care of. You know, obviously the Sand District has a unique issue because they are a property owner and they have an encampment on their property. So as the property owner, they have, you know, that unique property owner obligation. Certainly they've done a good job, but with our Garbage Franchising Authority, we've not only provided some direct assistance to the effort already, communications with the other agencies has also been positive in terms of follow-up efforts and how can we help.
Okay. So the take-home message is everybody's trying to do everything they can with the limited resources and just selecting what they can participate in and what they can't. So I strongly encourage the community that if you see this happening in your neighborhood, to call law enforcement immediately so it doesn't get out of hand and everybody's safe. And on that note, let's go to consent items, unless I've forgotten something.
Anybody else?
Misspelled something or mispronounced something. Okay. Does anybody have any public comment for anything on the consent agenda? Ms. Tacker?
I will eat a little crow right here, right now, in that your minutes do reflect that Commander Donovan and Jocelyn Brennan attended your last meeting. I did not. And I guess I was looking for a special presentation to have been on the agenda, because the sheriff hasn't been here in a year when he's been on the agenda all this time. And so I didn't come to that meeting. And perhaps had it been agendized differently, maybe I and a whole lot of other people may have come to hear the presentation.
Well, past meetings are available through AGP if people would like to view those and get some, you know, thoughts on the discussion and what law enforcement provided as helpful community hints.
And so, on the posting of the agenda, when we posted the agenda at our normal time on Friday, we had not yet received final confirmation, and as a result, I wasn't able to... create an agenda item any differently than what we normally have.
So it's all on our agenda, and it will continue to be discussed until we all figure it out. Okay, item number 7, consent agenda items.
I'll move to approve as presented.
Second.
I just have a quick comment.
Yes.
Can we make a note that Vice President White did end up coming?
Yes.
It says that she was absent.
Oh, in the minutes?
Yes. But
that's right.
Vice President White, do you recall when you showed up? Was it during
It was like
committee discussions,
within
consent
minutes.
Agenda.
It was like 6:35.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just after the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay.
Why don't we say board member, all board members present, and take out the board member Vice President White absent.
Okay.
But at roll call, she wasn't here at roll call, so the appropriate modification to the minutes would be that Vice President White arrived shortly after roll call.
Okay. Then I'll modify my motion. To
and I'll modify my second.
Okay.
I didn't even know.
Okay, is there any
Thank
questions
you,
under the warrants? Okay. No questions under the warrants. Hearing none, I have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Granted. 5-0 on the consent agenda items. Moving right along. We next have the contract.
We're going to do the hearing item?
Yeah, we're going to. The appellant, I believe, is here today, so we wanted to take item 9A first.
I apologize. Sorry.
And in terms of the steps through this particular item, I'm going to make a couple brief comments, and then Tony is going to come up and provide an overview of his response, as whenever we have any questions on meter reads and disputes, Tony or Jason or Casey will be assigned to go back out to the property, verify meter readings, and follow up action. So Tony's going to cover that. Then at that point in time, it would be appropriate to hear from the appellant some board discussion, public comment, and then final resolution. And the one thing I want to make sure to emphasize is that my recommendation for denial is strictly based on Ordinance 2007-1. That's what establishes the standard. And, of course, your board then has discretion beyond that in a hearing of this nature. But it was in 2006 originally that the basis of the standard was established and then refined in 2007. And so with that, I'd like to be able to turn it over to Tony at this point in time.
Pardon me?
To turn it over to Tony for his overview.
He's going to summarize the situation, bring us up to speed.
Yes.
Great. Mr. Maragino.
Good evening, board. So as we read meters, we have handhelds. Handhelds, you have to manually input the reads. If the read is put in incorrectly, or if it's too high or too low, the handhelds have an audible alarm. And you have to physically confirm that read. So this is your second check once you put it in. You have to physically acknowledge that read. So you look at it a second time. Acknowledge it. Once you're done with meter reading, we turn the handhelds in, a report's printed out. Meters that are high and low will come up on a high and low consumption or a zero consumption. So then we physically go back out and reread these meters to ensure there's no leaks, to ensure that the meters aren't stuck. So we do our due diligence that the community is not paying for water that they're not using. We definitely like to notify them if there's a leak to get it fixed. So that's our second check. Third check comes from a work order that's produced by the office staff. That usually is created by the resident, the owner, the renter. Hey, my bill's high. Can you go check and see if there's a leak? So that was our third step to verify this. And I was actually the one that responded to it, and there's no leak. Checked it, stayed there for a while. It's about 15 minutes. Yeah, ensured there's no toilets leaking, anything like that. The consumption, the average consumption of this resident is 14, 15, right around that ballpark. The read was 74 units. They used 74. So that is abnormal. Now, there was a few emails that were exchanged from the property owner and Celia. So we actually went back out there a fourth time to verify this. We videoed the meter, explained how a meter works. We took a second video after we got done with that, showing that the meter is operating properly. While water's flowing through it, the leak detection's moving, the actual needle on there's moving. So we have a video of the meter sitting still and a video with the meter with water going through it, because I know the property owner does not live here, so we can't physically meet face-to-face, so we took video of it. gave it to Celia. More emails were exchanged after that. So there's no leak. It's a rental property, so you have people coming and going. You know, renters are vacationers. What the meter says is what we have to go off of. We have meters don't lie. It's a positive displacement meter. So as the water goes through, it's got to turn. Any questions? So we physically checked this meter.
Four times.
Did you receive any, and I guess we can ask the property owner when he comes up, but did you receive any indication that there's a repair that was necessary at the house, something that was unknown?
I didn't see any evidence of repairs. There was no evidence whatsoever of a leak. There was nothing indicating water being lost.
Any suggestion that water might have been stolen, for example, like somebody hooked up to their hose? And
I mean, it's always a possibility if the home's vacant. That is a possibility. I know it has happened in the district. I've had people say, hey, my water's getting stolen.
Right.
Well, you can shut the water off as you leave that second resident. You know, shut it off at the meter. You can use your customer service valve. You can use your house valve, get it shut off. It's a good thing to do that if you're not there. In case something does break, I have seen a house where it was vacant. A line broke inside, and it flooded. It took probably a week before people noticed water coming out of the walls.
It was bad.
It was really bad.
The one on Air Park?
Yes, and I got pictures of that.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony. I don't have any other questions.
You know, the only thing I could probably suggest for a rental property like that, if they'd like to, if a management company's managing it, maybe get a read before they rent it out and a read after, just to see if they're using excessive water. You know, maybe that's an option to prevent people from using too much water.
Sure.
I mean, that's an idea.
Tony, what is the vicinity that the residence is in? Is it on this side of the highway?
It's at the beach, Laguna.
Okay. So the likelihood is that they were stealing water. Most people on the strands realize that these RVs come in, they dump through our alleys, right, and they grab our front hoses out of our front yards. I keep a 20-foot, 25-foot hose in my front yard. That way it can't go out. So,
Madam President?
There's no locks. Just a minute.
Okay.
So is there any locks? There was no locks on the water handles or anything?
Well, I didn't see any spigots with locks on it, but I can't make an assumption if anybody's stealing. Just like when I've taken vacation, I wasn't really concerned with conserving water. I'd jump in the bathtub three times a day. I don't know. My only thing I can say to prevent it from ever happening again, it's just maybe read the meter before and after.
Right.
Maybe have a surcharge. That's just me thinking out loud.
Thanks, Mr.
Yeah, my only comment was I was not going to want Tony to speculate on the question of whether the water might have been stolen or not, because we didn't have any evidence to that extent. We've seen other situations where tenants didn't report leaky toilets, and that can result in a lot of loss of water. Tenants who on vacation rentals who accidentally left water running when they left. We don't have any evidence as to what happened to the water, and so the caution is just that, you know, neither Tony nor I want to speculate on what happened to that water.
Right. Well, that's fine. You don't have to speculate. I'm not asking you to. What do you want us to do from here? There's no proof of a leak.
Well, at this point in time, it would be important to hear from the appellant.
Yes, is he here?
Right here.
This is Mr. Valente.
I didn't realize you were here, sir, for this item.
I don't want to participate.
Well, good evening, and thank you for hearing my appeal.
One moment, sir. Just one moment. We got to get the rest back.
No, she's recusing herself.
Oh.
Those within.
Oh, I couldn't hear. Too many discussions going on.
Oops.
Okay, we can start again. You have our undivided attention.
All righty. Well, thank you again. And first of all, I want to say I'm a farmer. I just recently retired from a water district, irrigation district, and we've installed low-flow toilets on that place. I have very minimal landscaping, all on time drip. I am concerned with water conservation. I definitely don't like what happened, or naturally don't like what happened, but the thing about the whole thing is that 55,000 gallons of water is a lot of water. And tenants that were there were different tenants on different weekends, and you may have one that uses a lot of water, but it's been a rental for a year and a half, and our average usage is 11 units. This is 74 units, 6.7 times normal usage. And according to 2007-1, excessive usage is 1.5 times. So I think it qualifies as excessive usage, and we all know that. But on the other hand, it also states that, you know, I can make an appeal due to a malfunction. Well, something must have malfunctioned here, whether one of the toilets was leaking, but that is kind of hard to believe because it would have to leak. It's 1,000 gallons a day almost for 2 months. That's a lot of water. I mean, I just can't believe where all that water went to. You know, so I think under 2007-1, I'm going to say that we had a massive malfunction somewhere. I can't prove anything. Basically, you guys have the meter to read. I appreciate the gentleman's comments there, and it's all true. He did contact me, sent me email, showed me how the meter works. I'm just here to see if you guys can use basically common sense. 55,000 gallons of water is a lot of water. If there's no leaks, where did that much water go? And I have recently, after talking with one of the board members, I've locked all the outside spigots, put the locks on them now. I think it would be very hard for somebody to steal that much water, as was brought up earlier, because to steal that much, somebody's going to see somebody there with a truck and hose, you know, for that amount, because they would have to constantly be there. You see these big set of double tankers going down the highway, that would be about 8 of those. So it's a tremendous amount of water. So I'm appealing to the board to adjust my bill to the average consumption, and that would be a $355.80 adjustment. And I'm going to leave it up to you guys, whatever you think is justifiable.
Is there anything else you'd like to offer, sir?
Not really. Do you have any questions? I'm up for questions.
You don't have a swimming pool or anything there, do you?
No.
Okay.
No swimming pool.
It's what, two-bathroom house? What are we?
It's three-bathroom.
Three-bathroom house, okay.
But like I say, we did replace all the toilets early summer to low flows, and you know, I understand people use water, but like I say, different tenants.
Sure. It is a lot of water. It makes me wonder if you've got a sticky valve that's it's at times sticking, at times not, or something. It's speculation.
It's possible. I did find one sticking one time when we went there. But, you know, to stick for that long and that much water, I don't know. You know, I'm at your mercy.
I don't have any other questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Ogling, I'd like to hear from you.
At this point in time, what I would recommend is having Mr. Minery explain the legal standard underneath Ordinance 2007-1.
I concur with that.
Okay.
Would you do that now?
Yes. Mr. President Lucy and directors of the board, just for your own clarification, that the standard that Mr. Ogren was working under, and this is under the ordinance we've been discussing, is that it provides the burden on the owner of the property to produce to come forward with evidence of a breaker malfunction, And the second part of that is evidence that the breaker malfunction was not reasonably detectable. So there's two parts to this as far as the legal standard. The owner must show, one, evidence of a breaker malfunction, and two, evidence that that breaker malfunction was not detectable by, with reasonable diligence. And so Mr. Ogren did not find that that evidence was produced to meet that standard, which then puts it on the burden back on the property owner to appeal. And, of course, your board has discretion to make the final decision.
Okay. I know that evidence is the key to that procedure. Is there any other board members who'd like to have any discussion? I'm going to open it up for public comment then.
I just think, well, the evidence might be the amount of water and that the evidence of malfunction. There seems to have been something going on. I trust the meter. It's a very difficult amount of water to have used, and I think the term for me would be res ipsa loquitur. The thing speaks
Pardon
for
me?
Res ipsa loquitur. The thing speaks for itself. The fact that this much water was used suggests that there was a malfunction. And I do have a difference, though. The staff report says the value of the requested appeal is $177.94. Mr. Valenta has suggested the amount that it requests is a $355.80 adjustment. I don't know if that would be...
The ordinance also provides that the leak adjustment would be for half.
Okay.
And so the 177 is for half of that calculation.
Okay. Thank you. Those are my only comments.
I do appreciate that the property owner has taken measures for future the lock-offs. Yeah. And
so... Is it what amount are we talking about? The $355.80 or what's in the staff report?
If your board were so inclined to make the adjustment, grant the appeal, it would be for one half, which is the $177.
Okay. Does anybody have any suggestions?
I think public comment before recommendations.
Right, let's do that. Okay. I'll accept public comment on this item at this point. Ms. Tacker?
I'll just say that, and I don't know, maybe the attorney can speak to it, but does the board have the discretion to award the full amount? It sounds like you're... board so far, the comments I've heard agree with the appellant that there was a malfunction. He's gone to extra lengths to prevent any future malfunction from his side, and if you have the discretion to give him the full amount, then it seems like you could.
Does anybody have any other comments? Yes, sir.
Yes. Mr. Valenti, we're being recorded, so it helps you speak into the microphone.
Yes, I could be wrong, but in reading the ordinance, I believe that it states that if the general manager makes the decision, not the board, then he can give half and the district keeps half, but I believe that the board can give the full amount if it's at their discretion.
Well, only as one board member,
Madam President, I think that, sorry to interrupt, but I think it would be appropriate to close public comment, since this is a hearing item, and to follow the formalities to close public comment, and then to continue board deliberations at that point in time.
Okay. So public comment is closed. So now I get to finish what I was saying?
Yes.
Okay. I would recommend that we send this back to staff. And I think that this is an area that I don't feel comfortable doing. If somebody else has a motion or something, but...
Hi, Jennifer. I just have some comments. I do appreciate that the property owner has taken future precautions, but at the same time, because the property owner wasn't on the location for the entire billing period, there is some mystery as to what the malfunction actually was, and so I do not think that it is the district's responsibility to take care of the full amount, because it is possible that there was something else involved that it may have been part of the property. So I would not suggest the full amount, but I would support the $177.94.
Do I hear a second on that, or discussion?
I think that was discussions, wasn't it, Jennifer?
Yes,
was that,
discussion.
That was discussion,
yes.
Okay.
Well, was it a motion?
No.
Okay. Matt, do you have something you'd like to offer?
Yeah, I think Mr. Valenta, I hope I pronounced his name correctly. Yeah, Mr. Valenta, I thought he was credible, and I think this is an issue. I would agree with supporting the Jennifer's suggestion for the $177.94 amount. I do, my understanding, though, is these are one-time billing adjustments, so if it pops up in the future, this is a one-time.
Pursuant to the ordinance again, and to what extent your board might waive the requirements of the ordinance does say once in any 24-month period.
Oh, 24-month, okay. Those are my thoughts on it. I thought he was credible and that this is not something that was his fault, but as a property owner myself, also, you do bear some risk when owning property, so.
Okay. I would agree with that.
So my proposal then would be to find in favor of the appellant and to the value of $177.94. That would be my motion.
Second.
Can you speak up a little bit more, Matt?
Yes.
I hear what you're saying.
That my proposal would be to find in favor of the appellant for the amount of $177.94 that this was a malfunction, not reasonably detectable.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Do we need any more discussion? Okay, let's do a roll call vote on this one.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Carries 4-0 with one abstain.
Recuse.
Yes. Motion carries.
Did I say something wrong? I said it right, correct?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, there's too many different discussions going on in the room and they're running into each other. Ms. Angelo, you can come back at this present time. I'd ask
and
people that.
Celia, let's make sure to note in the minutes that Director Angelo recused herself on this item.
Okay, all right. And I would ask people if they're going to have discussions to maybe take it outside. It echoes in this room really bad and it's hard to hear even back in the kitchen and the restroom areas. Pardon me?
I'm going to take a break.
Do you need one? Okay. Director White's asked for a break, so can we take a 5-minute break? People want to move. That'll be all right. Thank you. Okay. Okay, I'm going to pull this meeting back together after a quick break. Going on to item number 9.
Number 8A.
8A, excuse me. Okay. Do I need to do public comment on the on?
I would on the no. Two business items. I do recommend public comment after
right.
Staff presentation and board discussions.
Okay, great. Very good. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't overlook a public comment. So, do you want to start that, Mr. Ogren or Karen or somebody want to start?
I can certainly start it if you would prefer,
please.
But. Okay. So over the last couple of meetings and most recently on February 19th, the Five Cities Fire Authority Board has been discussing possible amendments to the Joint Powers Agreement. Prior to that, I participated in some of the discussions with the city managers regarding similar topics. And what I'd like to do is really focus in on the two term sheets that have been provided as a result of those discussions and run through my perspective on the various amendments that are being discussed or that are provided in paper. In general, Exhibit A and are items that are relatively more open for discussions, and Exhibit B has some that are of greater concern. Today's recommendation is really for your board to identify those items that you think are worthy of further discussions. It's not to say that you agree with those changes, but simply some of these items are worthy of further discussion, or if you have concerns about certain items, to make sure to identify those concerns. That way, as Vice President White continues the dialogue at the Five Cities Authority Board, or as I continue dialogue with the managers and at a staff level, then we've got some sort of direction from your board. But nothing tonight is considered to be final actions. So with that said, moving through Exhibit A, with respect to new members and the question of whether or not a JPA should be there and whether there should be unanimous or simple majority vote for the approval of a new member, you know, my thought was, okay, that warrants further discussion, but I'm not really sure how well we could articulate in a JPA what the conditions of a new member for their participation. Just like conditions associated with new development, we have to look at that in a new development and we have to provide specific conditions. And so it's really hard in any agreement to anticipate all of the things that you would see coming forward. And for further discussions, I think that's a good idea because maybe the JPA identifies some parameters in considering a new participant. But I really think that in order to have a new participant, there would have to be an amendment to the existing JPA addressing things like funding formula in some details, and that would require unanimous of all the agencies to amend the JPA. But if it has some guidelines on the issues to consider for a new participant, that wouldn't be a bad thing. So I think that's a good one to have further discussions on. I just don't see how you could really develop super good language that was really tight to be able to identify all the conditions that might be necessary for a new participant. With respect to legal counsel, the City of Grover Beach provides that right now. I do think that warrants further discussion because you know, the independence of the Five Cities Fire Authority is obviously a tone in a number of these things, and I think that warrants further discussion. Section 5B, collection of fees, I also think that provides warrants further discussion because there are things that Five Cities Fire Authority really should be more fee-oriented on. One example is we are currently, through work with the county, collecting capital facilities fees, which can also be used for equipment or upgrades for the facilities to the fire station. And that's an option that Five Cities Fire Authority really needs to be looking at, is public facilities fees specifically related to Five Cities Fire Authority. So I do think that one also warrants further discussion. On 8A regarding building ownership, what there is here is there's actually a reiteration of a lot of things that are already in the JPA, like the authority doesn't own the facilities. But what we're really getting into is this last, without incurring rent or utility payments. And there is inconsistency between the three different agencies, and I think that inconsistency needs to be eliminated. I'm not sure that an amendment is necessary or if just strict adherence to the existing JPA is necessary. Regardless, I think that discussion also warrants more discussion. I mean, that topic warrants more discussion. On 8B, major pieces of apparatus and capital equipment, certainly the idea that mid-year decisions are important to be able to make. It's the last sentence is not just at the beginning of the fiscal year when the budget is prepared, okay, but replacement of equipment is still very expensive. The budget requires unanimous vote, and so if there's a mid-year item associated with the fire engine, if there's a JPA amendment, then that should require a unanimous vote also. So again, I think that I provided a little bit of flavor for comments on these different items in Exhibit A, but I don't really see any problem with any of those items moving forward for further discussion. In moving to item Exhibit B, Section 9, Costs and Administration, the first one, well, that then addresses that some of the administrative efforts are currently being conducted by Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. I think that that item moving forward again is a good discussion in support of some independence of Five Cities Fire Authority. In fact, on June, I believe, 15th of 2015, your board already authorized a JPA amendment so that Five Cities Fire could directly bill us for dispatch services. So you've already acted positively in support of a detail that would fall underneath this particular item. So again, costs and administration, I think that again warrants some additional good moving forward for more discussion. On item 9C, that is the first one where I take a little bit of exception. Because in there's the statement that there appears no widely accepted methodology to calculate population for Oceano CSD during non-census years. I think that's incorrect. What the JPA actually does is specifies the California Department of Finance population numbers, and the California Department of Finance does not specifically provide population estimates on an annual basis for Oceano. The question is, USDA and through community development block grants, there's others who might provide specific population estimates. And in fact, I've been working on some of the USDA numbers for CDBG applications and have looked at how they provide population estimates for Oceano. So the statement that there's no widely accepted methodology, I question. But more importantly, again, last year, your board specifically authorized a contract amendment, a JPA amendment, to adjust Oceano's population based on new building permits. And that's a very reasonable approach to estimate population. All approaches on estimating population are estimates. There's no way that anybody can ever say exactly how many people live in the different communities. And so whether it's Department of Finance, whether it's USDA, or whether it's what your board authorized last June, the point is that there is the ability to develop a reasonable estimate of population for Oceano, and your board has already authorized a JPA amendment under one methodology. That particular one, 9C, I don't agree with. I do think that we have a good approach that can be utilized for changing population estimates. And again, your board has already authorized the JPA amendment on that point. Moving to Exhibit B, funding formula, there is the discussion about eliminating it based on out of the funding formula, the staffing levels. And to me, my concern about this one is that without funding to add the additional position, why would we be changing the funding formula? What's happened here is they've really coupled two issues underneath one item. One issue being, should the funding formula change? And the second issue is, should the staffing at the station here in Oceano change? And you really can't, you know, if you put two items together, well, the one on staffing levels, that's a budget decision. And if, in fact, it was determined that we could go to three here, then I think that there would be an argument in favor of a JPA amendment. But then Oceano CSD has to look at what are the overall cost implications to Oceano CSD right now. And we know that the available funding that we have for the Five Cities Fire Authority is very tight, it's very limited, and I think that that issue has to be addressed as a budgetary issue before it's addressed as a JPA issue. So yes, there's validity in the idea of looking at staffing levels, but I think, again, the budgetary issue has to be addressed before any consideration of JPA amendments on that particular point. So that one, I would say, concern about moving forward with that in JPA discussions prior to evaluating the reality of being able to fund another position from a budgetary perspective. And then the last one, which is equal split and funding formula, there's a little bit of ambiguity in that because in the first sentence they talk about administrative costs, but in the last sentence it says member agency would bear an equal distribution of the ongoing costs of the authority. But in both examples, I do not like the equal split and funding formula at all. Because as Vice President White has reported on many occasions, the actual number of calls that benefit the different agencies is not equal. And so to just say that whether it's administrative costs or all costs, they should be split one-third, 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 that just doesn't have a nexus to the service levels that are being provided in the different communities. So that one I would refrain from supporting. In summary, I think that open on all points for additional discussion except for the funding formula, especially until, since there is no fiscal analysis on how the funding formulas would affect any of the agencies. Again, Oceano, your board has provided and approved an option on population. You've also authorized a JPA amendment regarding dispatch. And my last point is that when your board took action last June, you also requested how the funding would have been allocated in prior years if the funding formula had been followed. We know that it hadn't been followed in prior years, but we haven't seen that fiscal analysis either. And that summarizes my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Oakland. Director White, would you like to present on this?
Well, I voted against this. It was passed. This proposal was passed, but I voted against it basically because I didn't like that we were, before we ever got to the meat of it, they were recommending these changes, and I have argued against the one-third, one-third, one-third on the basis of the statistics that show that Roy Granny has the almost 50% of the total services. And so I voted no. It passed 2-1. And then I immediately told my board members on the Five Cities Fire Authority that I was taking it to my full board as soon as possible, which I did, which we are. And I think it's up to all five of us to decide how we want to do this. And I can answer specific questions. And part of that one-third, one-third, one-third is, let me get some notes here.
What page is that? I was just looking at that.
Exhibit B is what you're
Exhibit B?
Saying.
Okay.
Exhibit B, that's the whole formula that exists now. There was a great deal of discussion on the fixed administrative costs, and part of what they were talking about is the contractual services, because Roy Grandy does the finance and human resources services, but the Five Cities Fire Authority pays them $20,000. Those contractual services are about $101,000 a year, and that includes $30,000 for the attorney, and added to that is $149,500 on dispatch, which we share in already. But there's audit, and Roy Granny also has IT services of $7,500. There's another $5,000. There's a variety of others, like about $32,000 for keeping the fire trucks running, i.e. tests of this and tests of that. And so I don't know whether it has never been made clear to me whether they are talking about these as the fixed costs or the entire formula. And I still do not know. I've tried to find out.
Okay.
But even a third of 100,000, it's...
So you don't have a clear definition of fixed costs?
No.
Okay. Let's start down at Lori's. And Lori? First of all, turn on your mic. I'll pull it a little closer to you.
I don't talk loud enough. Okay. I was looking at this earlier today, and a lot of things struck me as not well done, I don't think. First of all, I agree with her upon the equal split for fixed debt. There's no way, because we use less, we have less, and to equally split when they're continue to growing and wanting to add more and more equipment and things like that, I don't think we could afford to do it. And I don't like the thoughts of having being pushed to do that in order to stay in the group.
Can you hear Tony?
Okay. Also on the strategic discussion on point focus for authority for more independent member agencies. The one thing that concerns me about that, I know CAL FIRE is in Pismo Beach, and I wonder if that's what they're considering pulling in for that, or maybe something of further east, I guess I would say, like out towards the rural areas, on pulling them into it as well, and how is that going to affect the overall group as far as funding and expenses and things like that. I do think dispatch is kind of ridiculously high. I thought it was when they proposed it, but, you know, it is what it is. I just really feel uncomfortable with a lot of this. I feel like we're getting pushed into a corner saying that, you know, we're going to have to kick in a third of everything, even though we have the smallest population and the less funding that comes into us for that type of stuff. As long as everybody's expanding, it works fine. But, you know, because of our community, we're county, we don't have city items that we can use to expand growth and that type of thing. So I think I don't like it at all. I just think there should be several changes made. And I'd like to work on that a little bit and see what we can come up with that would be, we feel that's fair. That's my 2 cents worth.
Okay. Jennifer? Michael.
I am not opposed to looking at the funding formula in general, but I don't think the designations that they've annotated here are necessarily the direction that I think we should go in that. Definitely not the equal split, but looking at it in general I think is a good idea. But I definitely would, I think that that's going to take a lot of information in terms of the statistics from the Five Cities Fire. But in general, I am open to the other terms in the exhibits.
Okay. Karen, you know what?
Well, I was going to say, okay. there are two, certainly in Exhibit A, legal counsel and collection of fees. Those are two things that I would certainly support. One of the things that some of this stuff, it doesn't say it, but part of it is they were looking at ways, and I'll use the legal counsel, is to get away with the legal counsel coming from Grover Beach, the IT services from Roy Grandy, try and get some of this stuff so that at some point the Five Cities Fire Authority can become an independent of its member agencies in certain ways. And I think those are the collection of fees, because there's even like plan checking is done different ways. The fire department has to check all the building plans, but it's done different ways in different. Grover does it one way, Roy Grandy does it another. So there's even just some unification in some of the simple things. But Certainly, I have great concerns over the issues of how the formula has, how it has come to be proposed that we have an equal split in the funding formula.
Okay. Thank you. Matt?
I join the comments of the other board members, and I do agree. I want to specifically
speak in your mic, please.
I join the comments of the other board members. I want to specifically agree with the idea of the authority being more independent in the collection of fees. I think one of the challenges that we see manifesting itself is we have an underfunded fire department community-wide, and obviously I think the communities of that are contracting with the Five Cities Fire Authority need to consider again and again, and I think something that's always on your mind is how much fire protection do you want? And so those are my only comments. I would join again with the other.
You got to speak up.
I would join with the other comments that were made by the other board members.
Okay. So let's remember to turn on our mics and not mumble. When I go back to Chief Lieberman's memo to the staff, it says identify potential modifications, and that it wasn't the end-all, the be-all, that this was just a jumping-off point. But then when I go to Exhibit B, last paragraph, it implies that this amendment to this agreement would eliminate the current funding formula and each agency would bear an equal distribution of an ongoing cost to the authority. So this last paragraph led me to believe that, no, this would, that if one of these were to be adopted, that it would be more than an exercise. It would be an organizational change. So that was, I didn't realize if this was a statement or if it really truly was just a fact-finding mission what the needs are. I'm not quite sure that you'll ever gain a seamless operation of an organization built in those that way. They're not made to be seamless. Collaborations aren't supposed to be seamless. They're supposed to be collaboratively together. I think that I had a little problem with the background description. If we go to changing, adding more board members, or recommending that there be board members added up to 5, since there was no fiscal, pardon me? What, Karen?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a recommendation to change the new members right here, additional members to the authority. So the 3 entities paid for the authority to be built, the institution, the feasibility studies. It was a costly endeavor from Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. But there's no speaking to the 3 member organizations that have sustained it and how new members, how since there was no fiscal impact report attached to it, I can't see how the ones that have hung in there are going to be, you know, the new ones will be contributing. I just don't know how you're just not going to go pick 2 people and put them on the board, you know, when you've had, you know, geographic areas supporting the project all along. So that really, really needs to be fleshed out and thought about, and that is a policy issue. Section 4, no cost analysis attached. A collection of the fees was not complete. There's also fire inspections that happen to all the businesses. They go in and test the fire extinguishers. There's a fee for that. And so I thought that it wasn't finished nor completed. once again, Section 5B, no cost attached to it. I think that on the next paragraph, on the next page, on A, everybody should see if the rents and the utilities were eliminated, what would be the benefit? How much of a benefit would it be to the fire authority, and how much of a hardship would it be to the membership agencies? I think that we need to look at that. I was hoping that the apparatus and the capital equipment under Section 8B be included in the annual budget, and I just wasn't sure any of this was included in the annual budget. I agree with what everybody said on Section 9. And then the elimination of this formula component on Section Exhibit B, 9C, invoicing and payments, that just wasn't super clear to me what was trying to occur there, but so that needs to be flushed. And I needed an explanation on Exhibit B3, this component of the funding. It should be evaluated for potential deletion. What are we deleting? Are we deleting a station? Like that all stations responding to the neighboring communities be staffed with a total of 3 personnel shift. I thought that occurred now. This component of the funding formula should be evaluated for potential deletion, but once again, I didn't have a cost analysis in front of me. Okay, well, we weren't giving those funds. And then the equal split in funding formula, I can't support that. I think we try to do as much in-kind services as we possibly can. And I, once again, I don't have a cost analysis in front of me. So I'm not quite sure what to do with all these worksheets and how that benefits you, Karen. I mean, I think we're all pretty much on the same page.
Well, the way this started was in the January 15th meeting, there was a list of potential modifications to existing joint exercise of power agreement. And there was all these lists of things that were proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And the three members of the board suggested ones that could be moved forward as something to study. But then when February came, the staff asked us to approve these term sheets. It was a non-binding approval. But I stopped at the first paragraph with approving because I didn't think we were at the point of even approving what we might want to consider. And because there was not enough information. And I mean, that was the basis of my stopping right there and not agreeing to even want to discuss it any further, because they're asking you to approve something you don't know. Even if it's a non-binding approval, it starts the process. So I was being asked to approve the process to change the formula. Well, I don't know that we want to change the formula. So until we have more information, I mean that was where I started and stopped.
And if I might, when Vice President and I were discussing this agenda item, that was one of my concerns as well, is because the JPA speaks to the board of the JPA providing referrals. So, you know, there's a big difference between having a discussion at the Five Cities Fire Authority Board and then referring a matter to the member agencies for further discussion. That's a big difference between that referral and an approval, because the approval certainly implies then that everybody is in concurrence in these changes and that the detailed language just needs to be worked out. I don't think that was necessarily the intent on the approval language. But again, the JPA language is referral,
and I think that it would more be appropriate as a referral, as we are actually doing right now. But I didn't want to interrupt your other thoughts as well. I just wanted to concur on that point.
Yeah.
Did Chief Lieberman, did he present at Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach on this?
No, he hasn't. And and my discussions with him is that he is going to put a package together in order to come and talk to the different agencies. And I thought the value of today's discussion is to have, you know, with your board and, you know, in OCSD chambers, is to have some preliminary discussion so that at a staff level I can provide feedback, and at the board level that Vice President White can provide feedback. Again, I don't think that there has to be any formal action, especially the discussions that you've had already provides a good ability for, you know, again, me at staff level and Vice President White at the board level to start providing feedback on these particular items. And also to give Chief Lieberman a little bit of a preview before he does come out and make a presentation. With that said, it might be appropriate for public comment at this time, and then just to wrap it up with some final board discussion.
All right. Okay. We'll open it for public comment, Ms. Tucker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I did understand that Chief Lieberman was going to be going to each one of your agencies. I think it might be healthy to have a joint meeting with all three agencies, all 15 of you board members, so that you can talk about it, because this ultimately hits your budgets and hits your pocketbooks. I think that had been bantered about at some point, maybe running the regional center and everybody go there and have one meeting to talk about this. At the same time that this is going on, I understand that there's union negotiations and an MOU. So there's
that hasn't started yet.
Well, it's coming.
I know.
It's coming.
I know, but it has officially not started.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, it's coming, yeah. And last year, the Five City Fire Authority gave a pretty healthy raise to the reserves, and just a few months ago gave a raise to the chief, squeezing those in the middle who haven't seen a raise in, I think it's 8 years. So while you're talking about making changes in the JPA, every item has a dollar figure attached to it, and that's what's unfortunate here, is that Chief Lieberman hasn't attached that. I know from following your budgets that you enjoy $30,000 a year in rent from them renting the fire station from you. I don't believe you ever deserved that. If you read the letter of the JPA, I think the general manager at the time extorted the chief at the time. So that's been ongoing, but at the same time, that may stop. And you don't have $30,000 more to contribute. And if it stops, it's in essence a contribution. To be independent, what they're trying to do by getting their own legal counsel and maybe their own accountant or whatever, to be independent costs more. Look at what Arroyo Grande does with the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District billing. They can bill all those customers, the lion's share of the district's customers, for $12,000 a year. You could only do it for $22,000 a year. So to hire their own accountant, this is an example, is going to cost more. So we need to see. Chief Lieberman needs to bring dollars to all of your boards so that you can see what the final impact to your pocketbook is. And it is premature to have that conversation until you know what it costs to actually pay the firefighters that work for you. So I will stay engaged. I've always thought that the Five Cities Fire Authority formation benefited the city of Arroyo Grande the most. I've done financial analysis on some of those years, not all five, and Arroyo Grande benefited the most. So, you know, I don't know if you can play catch-up, but it could also hurt you if you tried to go back and recoup. So I know Pablo mentioned that we haven't seen if it ever got balanced, but it could hurt Oceano if you had to pay more. So I'll be watching.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Mr. Ogren, I have a question for you. What was the difference what was budgeted for the Five Cities Fire Authority additionally this year? Did we not put in an additional $39,000 or something?
President Lucy, I'm not going to be able to, off the top of my head, quote some of those budget details. Certainly the cost in the current year did go up from prior years to be expected. And I think that some of those items, again, associated with rents, we should expect some adjustments to them just because I don't think it entirely comports to the JPA as written. But the big picture is on, you know, I was focusing a little bit on funding formulas and the lack of fiscal analysis associated with them. I think any of the items that might move forward in further discussion have all got to have some sort of fiscal analysis associated with them.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if there's more public comment or not.
No. I just want a clarification on if you'd remembered that or not. Is there anybody else who would like to do public comment on this agenda item? Hearing none, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the board. Is there any more discussion or a recommendation?
So if I might, just to help, you know, the idea of is this really specifically identified enough to have a formal motion or not is sort of a question. Certainly the dialogue has been pretty clear. Question I think I have for Vice President White is, would you be looking for any more formal direction in order to go back to the Five Cities Fire Authority Board? I know that from this discussion, I feel that I would have enough tone from the discussion to go back at a staff level and express at a staff level areas where your board has greater concerns and where your board is, you know, more open to having discussions. So I don't think that there's necessarily a need for a formal motion tonight. And, again, Chief Lieberman is going to be coming at here in a subsequent meeting, so I think this is a good preview prior to his attendance.
Well, I think just the fact that the obvious thing is that the great need for much more fiscal accountability and fiscal information on these things.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're not, I mean, certainly Exhibit B is not even really specifically clear at some points what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't even understand what the big issue is.
Okay.
I think the direction is just to have Karen take our concerns from this board back, and it's an ongoing process, and we'll wait to be updated as that goes along. That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, and if there is some way we could capture everything that was brought up from all the board members,
got notes,
that would help, and maybe Celia, since she has the minutes, could help as well to make sure that everything was captured. So,
Jennifer? May I just ask a quick question?
Yes,
real quick?
Of course.
Just to clarify, so because this was approved by the Five Cities Fire Board, they are moving forward with all of these terms, is that right? And so, or to discuss them, and that's what he'll bring back to us are his ideas.
That is my understanding, is that Chief Lieberman will go to the various agencies and
okay.
put a package together and okay. have discussions.
All right. Thank you. But in the end, the amendment to the agreement has to be unanimous, right?
Yes. It's a three-party contract, and all parties have to agree to the exact language of each amendment.
That's there. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, great. So if you could take those back, Karen, and tell the chief that we look forward to a fiscal impact, fiscal breakdown, and his participation in that discussion. Is there anything else that we want to comment on this item? Hearing none, let's talk about something pleasant, goals.
Certainly. In developing the draft 2016 goals, this has been in response to a number of, the ongoing dialogue, some of the changing priorities, especially that we saw in the second half of 2015. Obviously, your board met with me in closed session on evaluation issues, and so some of those thoughts are incorporated in here as well, even though no formal action was taken out of closed session the most recent time you discussed my evaluation. I think the thing that's most noteworthy about the change in approach on 2015 goals to 2016 goals is that for 2015, developing those goals, I had been on, employed by your board for less than 6 months and was just getting my feet wet on some of the details associated with the district. And at that point in time, we knew that we had certain things that needed to be accomplished in a timely manner. We needed to address water conservation rates. We needed to address the drought, a number of water supply issues. And in the 2015 accomplishments that are included here, we'll see that many of those items that we targeted for this first 6 months were, in fact, accomplished. It's the second 6 months where, due to staff vacancies, we changed the tune and we started working on the organizational issues, and I think that was very productive because it essentially accomplished goals that were otherwise going to be 2016 or 2017 goals. But the point here is that in 2015, it was a matter of what do we need to do most immediately right now, and got focused on the fiscal issues and the water situation. So the transition in 2016 is to really is developing the goals associated with the categories of work that we have, such as capital projects, professional services, and operations. As an example, the goals underneath operational goals are things that Tony and I have walked through and Tony and I believe are feasible to do this year, with Tony having a lot of the responsibility on operational types of goals. Capital projects, moving our CIP program forward, professional services associated with that are all pretty high priorities for this year. And then we have operations, high priorities. Customer accounts, some of those then start getting into things that we want to evaluate. For example, conclude electronic payment evaluation. We did a lot of work, Celia did a lot of work last year, in looking at different options for electronic payments, like credit cards and everything. Many of those are relatively expensive. We do currently have the option for all property owners, all of our customers, to have automatic bank drafts paid. So in terms of somebody who wants to make sure that they have automatic payments automatically out of their checking account, that option already exists. But we do think that there's a couple other options that we've heard most recently that we want to look at again, and so that's underneath customer accounts. I put a couple of question marks. For example, obtain board direction on fees for service calls. And I put a question there because maybe part of the feedback today is, if your board doesn't want to talk about fees for service calls, then we won't include it in here. I think it's something that maybe warrants a discussion because we do have property owners where we have to go out repetitively and it becomes time consuming. But the question is, how do we develop a standard? And the issue is, if we go out and if there's an issue that is the district's fault because there's some sort of a water leak, then obviously there would be no service call. But it does get a little bit tricky on when do we charge for service calls and when do we not. So we would like to address that issue, but if your board were to say, no, you don't want to do that, then it would be a good time to tell me now. Another one similar is on deposits for new accounts. We don't have a lot of bad debt collection because, as a water district, we can shut off water, and that tends to compel people to pay the bills.
Catches their attention. Yeah.
Yeah. The area that we do lose a little bit of money, and it can vary from year to year, is when a property owner sells their property and they move away from the area and that final bill never is paid. So deposits for new accounts would really only address a very small collection problem that we have. The other one that is here is obtain board direction on water bill appeals. So we had a case today where an appealant came forward, and it's appealable to your board with a legal standard that you have in your ordinance. It can stop at the staff level, and then if a property owner isn't compelled, doesn't agree, then their recourse after exhausting administrative revenues is to go to small claims court. And so, again, if your board likes hearing those appeals, then let's strike this from the goals. Moving into contracts, we certainly have a number that we need to address. We've talked about Five Cities Fire Authority JPA amendments today. South County Sanitary, the garbage provider, not South County Sanitation, our wastewater treatment entity, but South County Sanitary has already indicated that they are wanting to seek a franchise extension, and we're just simply pending proposals from them. We're in the midst of talking about Lopez contract renegotiations. And then the fourth item there is with the business and accounting manager position, not the first thing that the individual is going to do, but certainly needs to be able to look at our contracts and make sure that, for example, the garbage company is compliant with the different terms and provisions. So those are good goals as well. Water rates and conservation. We had one from last year, which is evaluate the retrofit on sale, so that if somebody sells a property, that making sure that they all the low-flow devices are in there. And developing multi-year long-term rate analysis. That gets coupled with our CIP analysis and the other efforts that are going to obviously be a big emphasis this year. Then when I move into administration, accounting, finance, training, those are all goals that we need to continue to pursue, but part of it is simply going to dependent on how much level of effort are we going to be doing on the CIP and our professional services. And so some of those items, I think, just like in 2015, we have to anticipate that some of those might slip into 2017. I didn't really want to go through everything in, you know, line item type of detail, but if board members saw things that you thought should be included or things that you didn't think really needed to be included, then that's the type of discussion that I think would be warranted at this point in time.
Mr. Ogren, as we get farther and farther into this drought and thinking about yesterday's meeting and areas where we can try to cut down on wasting water, just for lack of a better term, and so I was thinking about how realistic is it to maybe consider or thinking about enforcement authority.
So in our discussions last year, in terms of moving to mandatory conservation, right now, through their drought rates, the community is under voluntary conservation. What clearly has been shown is that the community is very price sensitive, and so those conservation rates have exceeded the goals. We developed the conservation rates with a goal of 20% conservation. Actual conservation has come in between 25 and 30%. And based on the annual consumption, we can live within our state water allocation. So we're preserving Lopez Dam for future years in case the drought is extended and state water is cut off or reduced. But as long as we can get our state water allocation, the community's current conservation levels is really right where we need it. If the drought extends and we start losing state water, or Lopez, we can't get anything out of Lopez, then I think that that's the point in time where we need to trigger mandatory conservation. But we're not there. I don't see us being there for mandatory conservation in 2016 unless something changes. My recommendation is that community has done a great job at conservation underneath the game plan that we have. Hold that steady for 2016, and then we see how next winter goes and whether or not we have drought relief.
Okay. Does anybody have anything they want to add to this?
Well, I assume this is a living document. If we come up with items later, we can add to
it. Yes.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, obviously there's always items that during mid, you know, during the year, your board's going to provide direction on that. You know, we, you know, there's things that, well, like, for example, in the goals doesn't include the office carpeting or the toilet replacements, and those things are going to happen.
Right.
So. In
2016. Just another thought, too, is that we had talked a little bit about pocket parks, small little pockets of parks around town. Would this be the time to put these in as 2020?
It sounds like we might get one at 17th Street, fruit trees.
Yeah. Well, if you'll notice on the very last page,
on the last
78 of 96 or 5 of 8, other. Says other, evaluate Tree USA, clean and green program, although we're working on that, solar options.
Okay. Well, another one of these that you could add here, and it's nearly not much, but I did think of it when I was going through it, was the Oceano in Bloom.
Oh, there you go.
The In Bloom program that some of the cities like Aurora Grande have been.
Oh, and I almost forgot. Under administration, I put four items that said BOD, and that is not biological oxygen demand. That means board of directors. So, like updating the mission vision statements, public information on roles of agencies serving Oceano, list of reference documents, public information campaign stuff. I think that all sort of depends on whether or not a member or a couple members of the board of directors wants to sort of jump into some of those things, because from a staffing perspective, we might be struggling a little bit to get to those items. I didn't want to take them off the goals, but I did sort of indicate that, well, it kind of all depends on how important that is to one or two of you to help with those types of efforts.
All right. I do like the layout change. I like the way you have it grouped. I think it's easier to read. In terms of the customer accounts and the things that you had question marks next to,
yeah.
I personally would like to see you move forward with the fees for service calls. And I do think that the board hearing the appeals is important, so I'd like to leave that on, not necessarily on the list because I don't necessarily think we need to talk about it, but would like to keep that going, I guess. But I think we can...
To keep going, board consideration of appeals.
Yes, sorry. Okay. I did mean take it off the list. I apologize. And if... The setting up deposits for new accounts is not a real issue. I think we could take it off just to give preference to other issues that I think are more important, but that's what I think personally.
And the leaky pipe program that's going to be implemented,
yes,
sometime, would that include dead end flushes? Since it is a, you know, it's to you know, conserve water, and the dead end flushes are.
It's separate issues. Due to the drought, like a lot of agencies, we're not doing much line flushing.
Okay.
You know, that's all. A lot of those things that end up, you know, are water intensive, for lack of a better word. They don't really waste water because they are important practices to do
right. When
you have water, but they definitely, you know, become a lower priority when conservation is a key principle and everything. So
yeah.
Those have been curtailed significantly.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to contribute? So we'll take our goals home, and if they
public comment.
Don't worry,
right,
I'm not going to close the item. Since it's draft, we'll keep these these documents close, and as things occur to us, we can, you know, approach you or bringing them back up to the board, or when did you plan on it coming back on the agenda?
Oh, well, no, the recommendation is for approval as provided or as your board may wish to modify.
Okay.
So the title of being draft goals is simply because they haven't been adopted yet.
All right.
And after public comment and when we get further into the discussions, Director Blackburn might want to make a recommendation on her thoughts.
Okay. Okay, so at this time we'll hear public comment and bring it back to the board. Mr. Clemens.
Good evening, board.
Good evening.
John Clemens, resident of Oceano. I'm going to speak quickly. Last time I was here, somebody here apparently tried to complain to my employer. Word to the wise, you can't prevent a veteran from exercising his rights to speak in a public meeting. So please don't do that again. With regard to the draft goals, I see a lot of worthy goals, but what I don't see is a lot of action. You know, you clearly have some infrastructure issues. You clearly have leaky pipes on your water side and on your wastewater side, and there doesn't seem to be a plan here to specifically deal with that. You might want to run cameras through your pipes to see where your leaks are. With regard to wastewater, that leads to I&I, that leads to leaking wastewater into the groundwater system. This district hasn't addressed that in a long time, so I tend to be a lot more pragmatic about stuff, but I think the administrative approach is really good, but I think getting things done is more important than filing a bunch of paperwork. You know, if you have get a grant for $200,000, that takes care of two blocks. But if you go through and you camera all your pipes and you see what your problem is, then you can apply for real size grants. Yeah. Obviously, again, this district, since I've been here, has had a lot of problems. They haven't really answered them. You've talked a lot about it. Even when you look in operations and capital projects, you see a lot of, we're going to check this, we're going to check that. You guys have been saying that for years. When are you, I mean, Tony and his crew, I see them out every 2 weeks patching pipes. Every 2 weeks, they're patching another leak. That tells you that there's something that needs to be done immediately. And maybe it's a priority thing. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything that you guys face. But I know that your sewer lines and your water lines are a priority, and that they should be probably at the top of your list. And it shouldn't be something you're talking about and doing studies on. It should be something that you guys are taking action on. You guys can remanage your budget. I've had to do it where I work at. Where I worked at, our budget was as ugly as yours when I first got there. We went in, we remanaged it. Now we've got four major budget projects going right now, because we managed it, we reprioritized, and we decided to address something that was going to really serve the public. We're not interested in looking good as a district. I'm speaking for me. I'm interested in getting the things done that are going to best serve the residents of our district. Not looking good as a district. Doing the things that serve your residents or your constituents. And those are practical matters, not all this are administrative garbage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Mr. Ogren, after Ms. Tacker. Go ahead, Ms. Tacker.
Julie Tacker, and just to touch a little bit on what Mr. Clemens just said, I think Mr. Guerrero has been asking for 4 years for the pro forma. You got a portion of it, the operational side.
I think it's
side.
Three, but it's been a while.
Whatever. It's longer. It goes back to Geeslin time, so way back. And the majority of what that performance is going to be is only coming because you got the grant. Mr. Ogren isn't doing that. There will be parts that he does, but the majority is coming from that grant. And I know that was always a priority. To give you some credit, that's really hard for me. What you did say about the things that you didn't anticipate when you came on, like the drought rates and the things that you did accomplish that weren't in the goals, I think your staff report actually should have reflected that. Because if you pick this up and you just go through your color coding, 27 items in total, 5 are done. 9 are started, leaving 13 of them untouched. Doesn't look very good. The untouched category, the not complete and or addressed, should be labeled something else because you still want to accomplish those goals. They're not dead. You just want to roll them forward or they're postponed or something. That doesn't make it, and to me it just looked like the mission stopped. So I'm hopeful that keep metamorphosing the layout here, and that would be good. Curious, where's your audit? And as a goal. Earlier I said conservation starts at home. Well, revitalization starts at home, too. You just tonight approved the 5-year continuing lease for the old fire station. I'd like to see you at the end of those 5 years and in the interim start talking about what you really want to do with that building. That building is special. It is Front Street real estate. It has historic significance. And you own it. You can revitalize it. The little bit of rate increase, rent increase, maybe put that in a paint collection can where you paint the building something prettier, put a little bit of landscape in, take care of that building, and perhaps at the end of this term of this lease, rent it to a business, maybe move your offices there. I'd like to see you set some goals for that particular piece of property because it is Front Street real estate and revitalization is on your minds, and it's going to happen one property at a time. So take care of that piece.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Mr. Ogren, I did like the 2015 color coding of our goals last year and what has been accomplished, what's been completed, and what still is pending. I respond very well to things. It helps me to see the entire picture, so thank you very much, and I actually do think it's a major accomplishment considering everything that had to be done. There's one other thing that I'd like to add to this, and there'll be more, trust me, is a PERS assessment for the board to understand the increase in PERS costs. And we don't have to do this right now, but as we get closer to adopting our annual budget, I would like to understand the complete picture of PERS contributions. And, of course, the alley cleanup program, but I see that's in there. But I really like the colors, so...
So, was there any more public comment, or are we closed on public comment?
No, I'll close public comment for now.
I might respond to a couple of assertions about not a lot of action has been done.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the need to prioritize capital projects. I think that these draft 2016 goals are very clear, and I don't think that the individual who is speaking from the public really focused on how these goals. Capital projects are at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And when your board did approve the rate increase last year, which was in part to dig out of a significant deficit that was previously established, but also to deal with the water conservation rates that were necessary, the conscientious decision was that was the first step, and the next step was to deal with the capital projects issues. One of the concerns was putting the drought rate increase on top of a capital project rate increase. When we looked at the rate increase and we went back to the increase that had been adopted in 2010, it was clear and obvious that that rate increase was not adopted based on the consultant's recommendations at the time, but instead was modified. And the reduction in the rate increase stripped funding from this district for capital projects.
Right.
5 years where funding could have been established, and it wasn't. As a result, this district had multiple challenges when I came on board. And we've been very conscientious on the ones that we needed to tackle first. And this particular plan clearly shows capital projects now at the top of our priority list. The other issue about counting the number of goals and then saying how many were accomplished and how many weren't has no bearing on the priority of those goals. Clearly the drought, clearly getting out of a budget deficit, was two of the highest priorities that needed to be accomplished by this district. We were also able to do the organizational changes that were necessary. We were able to address the personnel issues and adopt the long-term MOU. So the goals that were actually accomplished last year, and some of them moved forward from goals that would have otherwise been addressed in subsequent years, were significant goals. This district has taken good forward-moving action in order to make sure that on the long term it's a sustainable and it's a viable entity. And in 2016, we're going to continue to make those steps. And the idea that capital projects is at the top, and that not only on Line 10 do we have develop infrastructure replacement and upgrade program, on Line 17 it's the leaky pipe CIP update, on Line 30 is initiate the leak detection program development. We're going to be back next month in order to talk about policy direction on sewer laterals. All of those work efforts are in process, and for the public to come up and make comments, especially since they attend meetings regularly and they see the progress, I think is a misportrayal of the actual actions that we have been accomplishing. I certainly feel good, and I think that this district is moving forward in a very good and progressive manner.
Thank you.
I'd agree. Thank you.
Ms. Tacker, we're very respectful when you're up at the mic. We ask that you do that in return. Please, I'm asking you not to do that.
So Director Blackburn had a couple of comments on perhaps eliminating a couple of the items in here. And then President Lucy, you wanted to perhaps add an evaluation of our PERS costs.
Evaluation, explanation, teach-in.
Yeah.
Before that, we do the annual budget, because I know there's a significant change in PERS.
Yes.
So that I don't think it has to be listed under training, but, you know.
Maybe. Understood.
Might it just be a future agenda item?
Fine.
I don't know.
Great.
And I think I heard also added to other pocket parks and Oceano and Bloom.
Pocket parks, right.
At the bottom of the list.
Eucalyptus Grove over here.
At the bottom of the list.
On the other.
Yeah, on the other.
The bottom.
Well,
yeah. But line 103, 104.
Yeah.
I'm a bottom girl, so it's okay, it's at the bottom. Right. Okay, I'd entertain a motion to accept. And first of all, I want to thank the fiscal committee and the staff for moving this stuff and then also including a document where we can really see that we have made drastic differences in sustaining the district. So on that note, I will entertain a motion to either deny or accept the draft goals for 15-16.
Okay.
Or modify.
Yeah.
As modified.
I would make the motion as modified.
Is it? Let me ask this a point of clarification. Is it on a fiscal year, programmatic year,
or calendar year?
Calendar year. Calendar year. So we're 2 months into 2016.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't accomplished anything. Okay, let's roll.
I'll second.
Great. Matt,
we can clarify the modifications. My understanding of the modifications was to delete the item obtain board direction on deposits for new accounts delete the item, obtain board direction on water bill appeals.
Yeah.
And under other, add an item for pocket parks with the understanding that as we're preparing the budget this year, we'll come back and discuss PERS.
Great. Oceano and Bloom was also in the other.
Oceano and Bloom.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
What are we blooming? Bougainvillea?
And eucalyptus trees, yes.
Yeah, eucalyptus.
Willows.
Okay, so Jennifer seconded that. Mm-hmm. Matt made it with the...
As modified.
With modifications. And so let's do a roll call on this one. Celia, please.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. That's probably the best goal setting I've ever been through in my short 7.5 years. Okay. No written communication received?
No, the only thing that we received on item 11 was a recent notification from Chief Lieberman about controlled burns that would happen north of Pier Avenue, that Cal Fire and State Parks are working together for a controlled burn, and Five Cities Fire Authority is going to make sure to participate in that, send an engine over. Dates haven't been set because precise.
Okay, well, when they're doing those weather conditions, can you tell them to make sure that wind is blowing north?
Yeah.
I can.
Okay.
I don't know how.
Well, we don't want the people on the Mesa to have to be faced with a controlled burn and particulates.
Okay.
No, definitely.
Okay, is there anything for closed session?
Nope.
Hearing none. Future agenda items?
So, I, for the more immediate near future, sewer laterals, your board had discussed the possibility of having something on Lucille Mar Unified School District.
And I would also ask for Phillips 66. We'll know more tomorrow and Tuesday.
And on Phillips 66, I wanted to bring that up simply because the idea was that I was directed, but it was in conjunction with President Lucy, and I believe, President Lucy, you've had discussions with some of the individuals who... on Phillips 66 and have come to some sort of an agreement on the timing of that down the road?
Yes. The gentleman said that he would continue to keep us posted and update. He understands that we're going through goal setting in the annual budget and getting ready for the audits, RFP, to be released. And that he said really that he would come back to us and keep us informed, but that until the EIR report was out, there really wasn't much to do, but that he would come back.
Okay, and you're maintaining communications with them?
Well, since the last meeting, we haven't talked. So, yeah, we did run into each other walking the dogs, but we didn't talk about that. So, yeah, we're in good touch with each other.
So I think that what's appropriate is for me to take direction from President Lucy on the specific timing of that, since she's in dialogue with the...
Sure, with Mr. Barney. And I think it needs to come back on, the timing when it's right.
Definitely.
But I think it does need to come back, and this board should take
And I think he's only too happy to come in and update us on it and tell us where it's at. And then, as things progress through the system, assess where we're at in all of this. So that would be a future agenda item.
Another one that I would just anticipate is going to be on the consent agenda, maybe not, though, is that our district engineer is developing a proposal for us to address the Air Park Drive utility relocation that needs to occur during the reconstruction of Air Park Drive. So I anticipate that might even be on the next agenda.
Okay. And not to jump off topic, but you did announce that we did get an award, right, for the IRWM.
Yes.
You didn't really give it proper introduction.
It will be on a future, because we're going to have the grant agreement executed, and we can shake the bells and everything at that time.
It's really to reach to underserved communities.
Well, there's a separate item, and I'm not sure, Director Blackburn, if that's what you were going to... Which is that... So the funding that we have that will help move the capital projects program forward is one item, but another funding pool out of Prop 1 provides specific sort of guaranteed money for the county for disadvantaged communities. And what I'm hearing is that's about $800,000, and the communities are San Miguel, San Simeon, Oceano, and amazingly, San Luis Obispo. I think it would be a crime if San Luis Obispo got any of that money. Technically, they're only disadvantaged because of the population of students that bring down their medium income and everything. But in any case, that is going to be a pool of guaranteed money. Exactly how much is going to come to Oceano is going to be based on additional discussions. But we'll bring that back to your board once we know more as well.
Great. And that does have a component on community organizing and bringing the community into the fold, basically.
And there's one pool that will then help with like the preliminary engineering work and the soft costs that are necessary to move capital projects forward. And then there's going to be a subsequent pool that's specifically designated for disadvantaged communities for implementation as well. So that implementation money, we're trying to work with the USDA, State Water Board on some of their other normal low-interest loan programs and grant funding programs, as well as whatever grants we can pursue through Proposition 1 and the disadvantaged community allocations, are really the best approach to be able to move forward with the capital improvement program while minimizing the cost to the community and the ratepayers.
Great. Well, I thought that was a big kudos that money's coming our way. So, anyway, future hearing items. Hearing none. Does anybody have any announcements or anything?
Pancake breakfast was great.
It was wonderful. Okay, I'll accept a motion to adjourn this.
So moved.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.